Father, we just thank you for this wonderful morning that we've been able to gather in the name of Jesus. Lord, we are so excited that we've been able to gather here to worship you. And Lord, just as the team has brought us into your presence and we've just got closer to you, even through those on YouTube, Lord, it's just so good to worship you. But Lord, we also ask as we come under your word now, that Lord, that you would minister to us. Every one of us is in a different station. There are different things that we are facing, Lord, but we all need you. And Lord, I ask that you would minister to us today through your word. Will you encourage us? Will you give us an evidence of that life that's within us? And may there be a freedom and liberty over every one of us here today, Lord, as we continue to follow you and to worship you and to love you as our Lord God Almighty. Amen. While I was preparing this morning, in my daily readings, I just want to share with you, Jesus was asked to go and heal Jairus' daughter. And on the way he was going to go and heal her, she actually died. The Bible says she fell asleep. But you know what he said to Jairus, who was the synagogue leader? He said, "Don't be afraid, trust in me." And you know, that was a time when your daughter dies, it's a serious thing. You got no hope. This is final. We're not in control of this thing. And the Lord turns and says, he ignores what the people are saying, and he says to him, "Don't be afraid, trust in me." Other versions say, "Believe in me, have faith in me." And I want to just encourage every one of us, and those on YouTube also, is that in this time, please don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't let the spirit of this world, the spirit of fear, come and to destroy your faith. Trust in Jesus. We have an incredible hope. We have an incredible future in him. Earth is just the dress rehearsal for forever, but we've got to live life here. And I'm just saying to you, where fear would come to your heart, actually, the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist that fear and trust Jesus. I'm telling you, God will never, ever let you down. The Bible says he will never leave you nor forsake you, and he will come through for you in every way. And in the same portion of scripture there, that woman that had hemorrhaging for 12 years, she lost a lot of money through going to doctors and they couldn't help her. But she said, "If I could just touch the clothes of Jesus, I will be healed." And I just sense there's no other healer than Jesus. We have doctors, and we thank God for doctors, and we thank God for medicines and what's actually happening. But God is our healer, and we've got to trust him to be our healing. And I really wanted to just pray for folk here this morning. Just take a few minutes. If you are going through issues in your life, I don't know what they are, but Jesus knows. I want you to reach out, not to Jesus that was here on earth, but Jesus that is seated at the right hand of the Father, that's here by the Holy Spirit. Reach out to him. He is still the healer. He is still the healer, and he brings healing to us. So wherever you are facing issues in your body, and especially those out on YouTube, I want you to reach out and to touch Jesus today, because he wants to heal you. As Sally said, he's a generous God. He's generous with his healing, and he wants to heal you. So can we just close our eyes, and may you reach out, whatever you're facing in your body. And I'm going to pray for God. You might be standing proxy for other people. I want to trust God. You know, we always say, well, it's not God's timing. I want to say, this is the time. God wants to heal. Let's believe him in these things. So, Father, we come before you with expectation. We come with faith in our hearts. Lord, we do not turn to this world and its ways, and we thank you for doctors and medicines. But, Lord, we call upon your name now. And we call upon the name of Jesus. And, Lord, as we reach out by faith, believing in you and trusting in you, we just ask, Lord, will you reach out and minister with your healing power by your Holy Spirit now, as I just release your anointing over every one of us here this morning, over those on YouTube too, that, Lord, bring healing to those bones, bring healing to those organs, to those immune systems, through those emotions, those things that are not working well. You love us, Lord, but you've provided through the cross healing, and we declare that over everyone here today in Jesus' name. Amen. I've expected a miracle, and I believe that. I really believe that, and I want you to come and share with us in the future just how God has actually healed you. Amen. I'm continuing with a series on Psalm 23, and it's going to take a bit of time, but I just think they're so rich in learning from Psalm 23. And today, the title of the message is I Shall Not Want. Firstly, I want to just say David, and we don't know a lot about David, but the Bible gives us some indication of what he grew up in his father's home. He was given a job as a shepherd. The Bible tells him as he was caring for the sheep, he killed the lion and the bear. And you know, the whole of the Israeli army or Israelite army was fearful of the Philistines. And David went there with his sling and his stones, and he went there and he slayed Goliath. He slayed Goliath. He also was a man of music. He worshipped before the Lord. And Saul, when he was tormented by an evil spirit, he would call for David and he would play music, and the tormenting spirit would be at peace. But I want to just say this: the greatest skill that David had was that he knew who God was. David was not perfect. He made many mistakes and he had many tribulations in his life. But one of the joys of David's life, he knew who God was. And that's where the Psalms, if you go and read the Psalms in the depth of that, you would see how God revealed to him who he was, and therefore he praised him and he worshipped him. And if you really want to see something of growing in life, David is an example of praise and worship. And I really do. We listened to some time ago Tom Ingalls, and I really believe what God placed upon David in the respect of revelation of worship must continue under us as new creations, as New Testament. It's not to be lost. It's something that was there that needs to be continued. And I want to encourage us, as David knew the Lord and worshipped him, I want to encourage you to worship the Lord. Go and see the Psalms. Go and see what the New Testament says, but grow in them. But the key thing I want to bring out here today, Jesus was known to David. He was the Christ, even in those times. He knew his God. And here he writes the Psalm, Psalm 23. So I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, and I'd like us to read Psalm 23. And again, I encourage you to try and memorize this portion of Scripture. It is a powerful portion of Scripture, and it will carry you through many things because it's the Word of God. So I read from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So we're going to be looking at verse 1 here today. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And we dealt with about a week ago, the Lord is my shepherd. I want to just say these two statements, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not, are linked. They're not separate. They are there based on a revelation that David had of God. But he had a revelation of God as the good shepherd. Now, I've been trying to look at, from a farming perspective, what is a good shepherd. But I wanted to say, what does a good shepherd do? He leads the sheep. And that's why Jesus said to us, deny self, take up your cross, and follow me. Because he's a good shepherd. He says, follow me. Because he realizes in the life that we need to live, we cannot lead ourselves. We need to be led by him. Then he cares for the sheep. Now, any good shepherd will find pasture, find good grasslands for his sheep. You make sure that it's not overgrazed. You'll take them to water. And when it's hot in the day, you'll find a tree for them. Or in winter, you will find a paddock where they're protected from the cold. Then he also enables them to reproduce, to multiply, and to be fruitful, in themselves to grow wool, and that can be shared, and to live productive lives. And I believe that's what the good shepherd wants for every one of us, to live productive lives. And then he protects them from the predators and from sickness and disease. Do you believe God does that for you? He protects you from the evil one, from the demonic authorities that are working out there, from evil men and women that are trying to destroy you. And then he plans their lives. He prepares for the different seasons and the difficulties in life. This is the good shepherd. And I believe David had a revelation of that. So I want to just open up 4 points as we delve into this and try and understand what God is saying to us today. So my 4 points are, what does want mean? Secondly, do we belong to the good shepherd or to imposter? Thirdly, under Christ's control, a place of contentment, and then a warning to carnal Christians. So firstly, what does want mean? Now, I think we get misconstrued so often in our modern-day English, what does want mean? And it's like a young two-year-old saying, I want, I want, I want. And we know that is not what God is actually talking about here. God provides for our needs, and sometimes the old English, the want, is actually our desires that God provides. But here we see the main concept behind this is that David wasn't in a place of any lack. He was rather in a place where he knew that God was totally in charge of his life. We call this husbandry, you know, the farming term husbandry, when looking after the sheep totally in every way. This is where he will not want. The shepherd is doing his job, therefore I will not want. But then David, also coming into this whole thing, understood that under the shepherd's control, he would never experience any lack or need. Even though he'll go through difficulty, God will always provide. And I want to just say is that even though we're going to go through difficulties, God is always there as our provider. Sometimes we make silly mistakes and we make wrong decisions because of lack of wisdom, and there's consequences of that. But through the ups and downs, as we see in David's lives, there was consequences for those decisions, but God was always there providing for him in every way. In Acts chapter 14, verse 22, it says here that strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations or hardships, we may enter the kingdom of God. And I want to encourage us is that in life of following Jesus, it's not always easy going. There are difficulties that we will go through. There were issues sometimes financially we'll go through, sometimes hardships with our health, sometimes relational issues that we will go through. But God is with us in those things. That's the key thing that we need to remember. So when you're going through tribulations and hardships, don't think you're in a bad place. Believe God is in control in these things. And he will work with you. And I read something wonderful this morning. God sometimes is in the storm, but doesn't remove the storm, but he puts calm in your heart that you can go through the storm. And that is an important thing, that sometimes our prayers always remove the storm. But you know what? The greatest thing that we need is we need peace in our hearts. And Jesus is with us, and we go through the storm. We climb the mountains together with him. We see this, we need a balanced view of the Christian life, and as we go through tribulation, and we see those that have gone before us went through great tribulation. We see some of those of Elijah, John the Baptist, Paul, the Lord himself, and the modern-day evangelists and the modern-day pioneers. We see Livingstone that went out, the great difficulties as he went into Africa and actually died of pals. I don't know if you knew that, but he went through great tribulation, but yet God was with him. Even now, some of you are going through some great difficulties. You're under a lot of pressure from your finances, from your relationships. I see with the elderly folk, loneliness is a great thing at the moment. Mental health for a lot of people, not socially interacting. My daughter going to university, no social interaction. It's not normal. We are created to be social beings. God wants us. That's why it's so important for us to gather, even under these restrictions, to be able to interact with one another, because God created us that way. And these are some of the things that some folk are actually facing at this point in time. We need one another. We need friends to go forward in life. But Jesus is the good shepherd, and he will be with us through these trials and tribulations. And we need to declare like David, I shall not want, because God is with us and God has taken us through these things. See, the important thing we need to understand is that Jesus wants to take control and he wants to manage our situations when we release that to him. See, that's what it means to be the good shepherd, is that we got to relinquish ownership of our situations. Not live an independent life, but live a dependent life upon him, on the good shepherd. That's where God created us to be. So often the world will teach you, no, you be independent, you make your own way, go and make your own success, and you can be proud about that. But the Bible doesn't teach us that, and Jesus doesn't teach us that. He gets us to a place of surrender, to a place of humility, get us to a place where we will submit to his lordship, to his control, and let him lead us. Now, that's where our biggest fight is. We don't let him lead us and guide us and direct us. We want to do our own thing. And it's one of the biggest challenges that we all face in life, because we think we can do it. But if we let go and let him control, he will show us that he's the good shepherd. Just want to also just say, sometimes our thinking of prospering materially is a significant mark of God's blessing upon our lives. Now, I really do believe God does bless us and God does provide for us. But it says in Revelation 3:17, "For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked." Sometimes the deception of wealth can absolutely destroy your relationship with God. Even Jesus said to the rich young ruler in Mark 10, verse 21, he said to him, "You lack one thing, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." That must have been a very difficult thing for that young man, because his hope was in his finances, in what he had. But when Jesus said to him, "Get rid of that and come follow me and you'll find riches in heaven," how often we've got to do that transaction too. We're not to trust in these things. We work up into the Great Lakes and into Burundi. I've got a good friend there, Stanley. I think a lot of us have met him. Stanley grew up in the DRC, and he grew up broken. He grew up, he tells me that he said, "I was a drunkard, and I used to squander all my money on alcohol." But he came to know the Lord and still had no means to live. And he said to the Lord, "How am I going to provide for my family?" And the Lord said to him, "What do you know?" And he said, "Lord, I know how to fish." And he went out and he started fishing and he started to provide for his family. But God turned him from a drunkard to a fisherman to a pastor. And when you sit with these people are still poor. And I wanted to say, a lot of the church today and a lot of the world today is poor. We are the minority when we look at ourselves, how we actually live in. We are the minority in the whole world that actually have the blessings that we have. We have running water. We have electricity. Yes, Eskom has its days, but we have electricity that comes. But when talking to Stanley and him understanding who God is, he says to me, "Mark, you must understand it's the grace of God, how he provides and undertakes for us." I've never seen people so generous in all my life. They will buy a bag of 50 kilograms. They call it a root vegetable called cassava. And they will grind that up and they'll mix it with maize. And whoever is lacking, they will open up their home and they will always feed people. They'll never turn people away that are hungry. Always provide. And God provides. They don't have a lot, but my goodness, does God actually provide for them in their means? And I want to just say to you today is that don't desire money. God will bless you and provide for you in wonderful ways. He's more concerned about your well-being than you are about your well-being. But don't desire money. Yes, get a career. Go and do yourself well. But don't put money as your God. The scripture is very clear. It says you cannot serve God and mammon. You've got to serve him, and God will provide for you in every way. Our God is a generous God. He's a master that wants to bless you. He doesn't want to curse you. He wants to show you his great wonder. And I'm sure all of you have got testimonies of the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God over you. He wants to do and bless you. Unfortunately, I've been up into Africa, and this prosperity gospel has been preached, where people that don't have nothing are given this hope that if they just pray, these things will come, and it becomes about things and not about God. And I'm not saying God doesn't want to give us things. He wants to. He wants to provide for our needs. But when the thing becomes more important than God, it's wrong. And the late Michael Eaton said there was a revival in the Great Lakes area in East Africa from the early late 30s. There was revival, and God would come by his Spirit and would just pour upon classrooms, and children would get filled with the Spirit of God, and there would just a move of Spirit, incredible move across that. Even in the Anglican churches, these things were taking place. God was moving. But in the early 80s, when they got hold of this prosperity gospel and they started to get the wrong perspective of what the true gospel is, he said, we saw the Spirit of God actually lift off the church. He was still there meeting them, but it was lifted. The presence of God wasn't a reality. And you know, God, He loves us, but I come with a warning. Do not seek money. Do not seek things. God will provide those things, and He will come to you in a wonderful way as He is your master. So secondly, do we belong to a good shepherd or to imposter? Again, I say you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. We need to be coming under our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, from farming terms, a flock is known by its owner and whether that owner looks after the sheep. Now, Jesus said in John 10, verse 11 to 12, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. And you see, the hired hand does not look after the sheep. And we see that there's a problem when you have the wrong ownership. It'll determine how you outworked in your life. And I'm telling you, we've got a good shepherd, and we need to be under His control. Just a point of view that I have, just be very careful in the local church that you go to, because God raises up men and women to lead churches, and actually a church needs a pastor to lead the church. Yes, there's the gifts that are needed, from the apostolic to the prophet to the evangelist, but the pastor and teacher is a key one. Why? Because I want to say to you, and you might not realize it, you're a sheep and I'm a sheep. And we need to be under a shepherd who needs to guard us. But I've been raised up as an under-shepherd that's got to be hearing the good shepherd. And you need to be shepherded. And if you're not being shepherded, and if I'm not a good shepherd, it's going to have an impact upon your life. So that's why I want to say to you, pray for your leaders, that we would stay close to the Lord and that we would be good shepherds. It's not because of us, but because who He is. Because you need to be guided and you need to be shepherded. Not controlled. Jesus is the one that controls your life. But we are to guide you and to direct you. And hear my heart in what I'm saying here today. When you make big decisions in your life, hear God. Absolutely hear God. But come and seek counsel about these things, that when you talk to things, and I'm telling you now, the shepherds have wisdom from God that actually can bring perspective that you never had before. It is wise to seek counsel. Hear God. Firstly, hear God. But then don't come and say, God told me this, and it's a fait accompli, and you're not going to change your heart. Come and say, I come in willingly and seek counsel. What do you think? Then weigh up the two counsels, what God is saying and what is you're getting from counsel, and you'll find the right path. Very, very important as we go forward. So I want to just say is that as Peter denied the Lord and the Lord restored him to go and pastor his flock, what did he say? He said, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, and feed my sheep. That's what he went and did, and he was a good shepherd. He was an elder in the life of the church, which really is a shepherd. Ezekiel 34 says about the shepherds that just looked about themselves, and be careful in the local church and be fine. So I'm not saying to judge us, but pray for us. We're not perfect, but you need good shepherds to guide you and lead you under the great shepherd, the good shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. There's another master that we've got to be very careful of, the imposter. And I want to just say we've all come from him. He's called Satan, and it's called sin. And we have been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness. And we need to remember that Satan does not love you. He's cruel. He hates you. He wants to destroy you because you belong to another master. Don't fall back under his control ever again. You've come out of his kingdom, under his dominion. You've come into the kingdom of the Son. In Colossians, it tells us that. And remain there. Don't go back to Satan. But one of the things that we do all fall back into is the authority of sin. Jesus has canceled the right of all sin, and we've received our forgiveness. But we still have the ability, every single one of us, while we're here on earth, is still to sin. And we need forgiveness for that. So 1 John 1:9 is very important, is that we need to confess our sin and confess our sin to one another, that we might be forgiven and be cleansed from all unrighteousness. So make sure you're not under the authority of Satan or sin, because so much of the world yes, we see Satan at work in all these things, but under sin, you know, we talk about all the diseases that are out there that are destroying the world, and Quentin showed us last week the coronary heart disease is the highest, even higher than and COVID that's going on. But I want to tell you, the greatest killer is sin. Sin is the one that's actually destroying the world, and no one in the world is actually wanting to combat that except the church, and we need to be out there doing that. So I want to encourage you, remain humble, be in a place where Jesus is your good shepherd under his authority, allow him to care for you, get to know him, and trust everything into his care going forward. And then thirdly, under Christ's control, a place of contentment. In Philippians 4:11, not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Can I be honest with you? This is a fight that you're going to face in your life. Contentment is that you go much through life and there's frustration in our lives and we don't always find contentment. But it says here that Paul talking to the Philippians, I've learned to be content. So when you become born again or even filled with the Spirit of God, you're going to have to go through this journey to learn God's contentment in your situation. There's some other things that refer to contentment. 1 Timothy 6:8. But if we have food and clothing with these, we will be content. And then Hebrews 13, verse 5. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For you have said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And then 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weakness, insults, hardship, persecutions, and calamities. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. So under the control of the Lord, the Good Shepherd, we need to be in a place of contentment, that knowing that he is in control. And I really believe that is a hallmark of maturity of following Christ, is being content. But unfortunately, discontentment is a major problem in the world and in the church. People are so discontented. They're not satisfied with themselves, they're not satisfied with their situations, and they're always fighting for their way or a way that seems right to them. There's not a place of being under the control of Jesus, knowing that he's totally in control, and allowing that peace that comes to be content. People are restless, unsettled, they become greedy and lustful. It is a problem. And, you know, I was sitting before the Lord and meditating on this thing, and I was just, the Holy Spirit was just bringing back some instances in my life that the journey that I've walked with him, and when I've gone through those difficult times, and how I've approached those things where I've got disappointed, and the discontentment in my heart. And the Lord reminded me in those things that I hadn't even dealt with, and I had to spend some time and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I was discontented there, and Lord, please forgive me. And I actually repent that I need to find contentment even in my past where things have seemingly gone wrong. I didn't believe that you're my good shepherd in those times. And I tell you, that brought a bit of healing to me where I just saw, okay, Lord, I need to find contentment in you. You know, the world is pushing you on the trigger of discontentment. You know what the root of advertising is? Making you discontent. Honestly, you see the flashy car. I want that. Your car's not good enough. You want the latest system. You want the latest computer. And I'm not saying it's wrong having those things, but the world pushes you to make you discontent, that you will make silly and stupid mistakes and go and do things that you don't need to do. You know, a bargain is not always a bargain. Because sometimes you don't have the money and the bargain's going to cost you money. It might be saving the few rand on the thing, but it's not a bargain. It's forcing you to make a decision. And I'm not saying it's wrong if you have done that and do that. We're all bargain hunters and we like to make a good deal, don't we? Hey, we love to do those things. But don't be pushed into discontentment. But I'm asking you, as you're under the Good Shepherd, and as the Holy Spirit reveals to you issues in your life where you even got to a place where you think, I made a wrong decision there, and you haven't found peace in that situation, get back, and learn to be content under the control of the Good Shepherd, and you can declare, I shall not want. I'm telling you, folk, it is liberating. In the time that we find ourselves at this point in time, your boss is not your provider. You're not even your provider. God is your provider. And if you believe that he's working that out. And you know, one of the greatest secrets that I've learned in this area of contentment is to be thankful in all circumstances. When we get that right, whatever comes your path, and I know we get frustrated and things happen to us, and we rash and we let rip with our voices and we say things we shouldn't. We need to be turning what we are saying into gratitude and thankfulness. We're all growing in this area, but I wanted to say the Lord wants you, out of knowing that he's in control and that you shall not want, is to walk a life of contentment. Very, very, very important. We need to declare with David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then lastly, just as a warning to carnal Christians, you see, God never expected us to remain part of the world. We live in the world, but not part of the world. And what is my understanding of carnal Christians? And I was reading that, and I love this term, half Christians. They got one foot with the world and one foot in the kingdom. It does not work. You're in or you're out. And as Quentin encouraged us, the Laodicean church, the Lord said, I wish you were hot or cold. I knew what to do with you, but you're lukewarm. And that's what a half Christian is lukewarm. You don't know which one you are. And God doesn't want that. He wants us to be in a place of on fire for him and loving him and going forward with him. Now, this where I'm getting some of the stuff from for this in farming terms, what is someone that is a half Christian? And this farmer was actually saying it was the sheep that wanted to get out of the paddock. He called them fence crawlers. And he said he had this sheep, and it was a prize sheep, a prize ewe. And what this ewe found out was how to get through the fence and get onto the other side. And on the other side, they were on the coast and would go down to the coast. And the grass wasn't better there, but this fence crawler wanted to get there. And eventually got this sheep back, and again it would get out. And what was actually happening, that her offspring was starting to follow her example, and then other sheep were starting to follow that example. And he said the hardest thing he had to do, the only way to stop this fence crawler, was to slaughter it, to stop other sheep from following that. Now, I don't believe God wants to kill us, but the reality, if you're a fence crawler, you will experience death. Because Jesus says, I've come to give you abundant life. And if you're trying to live on the other side, you're going to experience the death that God delivered us from, and you won't find the freedom. In Romans 8, verse 13 said, for you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So I want to encourage all of us and those out there today, this is not a condemnation. You're not going to lose your salvation, but you're going to experience not the abundance of life that God has for you. He wants you to experience the fullness under his oversight and his lordship. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So my challenge to you today is, Jesus your good shepherd? And can you declare, like David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You'd be surprised when that becomes your declaration, becomes your high tower, that you hold on to that. You will find that God will go before you. Your life will not be perfect, but there will be a knowing of contentment and a peace that passes all understanding, God, in your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, of knowing that he's guiding you and he's leading you. Jesus is the good shepherd. I'd love to pray with us. And if you find that you have wandered, you found that Jesus is not totally in control, even though he is your Lord, I'd like to ask, as we pray, for those on YouTube to come back to a place of surrender and a place of humility and put Jesus back in his rightful place as the good shepherd. and be in that place that you can declare that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, that you might find contentment and that you can find peace as you follow your Lord and your Savior. Let's close our eyes and let's pray. Father, I bring your sheep before you. Lord, you are the good shepherd. You know our hearts and you know our lives. And I know there's no condemnation, but you want the very best for us. And Lord, I just ask that everyone that they respond to you, whether here this morning or out there online, as hearts surrender and humble themselves before you, that Lord, again, that you will take up your rightful place as Lord, that you would be their master, they would know that you are totally in control, and that every one of them would live in that place of peace and contentment, that Lord, not fighting themselves, not fighting this world, but looking to you and allowing you to lead them into the paths of righteousness. So Lord, I thank you for the release of this world and the powers of this world where the enemy is trying to come and kill and destroy, that Lord, freedom would be over your people now, that they would hold on to you and they would see your hand of grace upon them and the outworking of your presence now. I pray even too, Father, that every one of your children will hear the voice of the shepherd. They would hear the voice of the shepherd, not in just the big decisions, but in the affairs of life every day, that there'll be a clarion call in their hearts. They would have the comfort of your voice, the comfort of knowing that you are totally in control and you are leading them into good pastures. So Lord, bless your people. Bless them as they trust you, not fearful, but trusting you in all that they do. Thank you, Lord. Amen. God bless you all. So good to be in here with us this morning. If you would like prayer, we'd love to pray for you after the meeting. For those on YouTube, thank you for joining us this morning. May God bless you too. Send those prayer requests in and we'd love to pray with you. But God bless you all. Keep praying for us that God will increase the numbers and that we can meet as a full church together serving our Lord. God bless you. Have a great and wonderful day.